Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 81, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
It's the season finale. This show is a production of iHeartRadio, and this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries, and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, May 10th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Cause O'Brien, I can't get no. All right, that's plenty. That's courtesy of Trite Gang, and I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Push me, and then touch me, till I can get high. Blasted action.
Okay, that was Benny Benassi, also from Trite Gang.
Yeah.
Going for the, what do you call that, an exacta?
Satisfaction exacta.
Got the sad exacta. Not quite a trifecta, but we haven't let y'all know who the guest is to do that. But hey, you just got close at Just TDZ, AKAs.
And we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Mr. Nick Turner.
I do my hair, turn, check my neck. Tell me how you feeling. How you feeling, Nick Turner?
Wow. Damn.
Oh, my God.
AKA yeah, Neck dangerous. Turner with that one.
Yeah, damn. Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Mr.
Mr. Steal Your World.
Mr. Turner and Hooch. Nick, how you doing, man?
Hey, I just went through a whole flashback to middle school during all those nicknames.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turner and Hooch?
Nee.
Oh,
Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
They never said Nick Turner.
Yeah.
That would have been, I would have appreciated it.
How you been, man?
I've been excellent. Just missing you guys. I was banging on the door outside for the last couple months.
Yeah, just it became a problem.
But, yeah.
Well, I told Jack, I was like, if he really wants it, he'll stay.
Yeah.
And then he'll keep banging the door till his hands are raw. Your hands look great, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Barely
they
splintered.
Are full bone.
You know, yeah, they
full
are.
Bone.
Full bone.
Got the full bone. All right, Nick, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a
thank
moment.
God.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about how being high with a intimate partner can make things warmer, more intimate, better. Specifically mm-hmm. on marijuana,
Which
is not the drug that you typically associate with being intimate.
Oh,
so.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah,
my man.
I mean,
I was
you're
speaking
the only
for
one,
you. I said you. And
yeah,
I was and
looking
you.
Directly in my eye.
Yes.
You're right.
We're going to talk about McDonald's new international menu. We're going to talk about
like this show.
How abortion rights have just gone away.
Yeah.
Quick hard turn. We'll have an ad break in between those two, so they're not right next to each other. We'll talk about how the president of these United States wiped $1.5 trillion with a T off of Wall Street with a single tweet. We'll talk about China's security state. We'll talk about Kraft Foods giving a Mother's Day gift out to mm-hmm. all the moms out there.
To a fraction of
moms. Yes. This is also the Mother's Day episode of the Daily Zeitgeist. And then we'll just do a bunch of, we'll jump around in Act 3. We're going to talk about It Chapter 2, the trailer for which just came out. Giannis Antetokounmpo being just a bad, bad man. We'll talk about why Tesla was trending, one of the better reasons that Tesla has been trending over the past year. And then we'll make some Game of Thrones predictions. Specifically, Nick will make them, even though he's a season behind.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be actually the most powerful segment.
Honestly, I think it's going to end at season 7.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That is a big... A big swing. We also might talk about a woman who drank 6 energy drinks a day and what happened.
Needed a pacemaker.
Yes. But first, Nick, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Crap! How many things are on that list?
I know.
That was the one I have 19 things ready to talk about.
Okay.
I was like, damn, you hit me right up top.
Yeah.
From my search history, I'll tell you what's going on with my search history. It's all Bing all the time because I've got malware. and so no matter what I Google, I Bing it.
Oh, wow.
And it is killing
Wait,
me.
What?
I'm going to have to take it to the Mac store.
It redirects you
It just
to
redirects
use
me
Bing?
To Bing. And, you know, you Google it and they're like, yes, this is a big problem.
This search
is some popular malware.
Is killing
what kind
me.
Of computer Sorry. You got?
I have a Macintosh.
Oh, okay.
A Macintosh. And yeah. What kind of websites you be going on? What kind of files you downloading, my man?
The take you to Bing.
I thought.
He's rubbing his mitts right
like
now.
Porno.com or something? Like, what is it?
Freeporno.biz. .co.ru.
Because you can go incognito, but I didn't realize they still count it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get a VPN, my
you
man.
You can still get the mal.
Get the VPN. Get the
mal is there.
So anyway, yeah, no, I've just been back to Victoria's Secret catalogs for me.
Yeah, baby. Oh, they've been good lately.
Wow, look at fancy man over here.
Yeah.
Act like you forgot about the Sears catalog.
Right.
Yeah. But I did Google Ted Turner right before coming because...
wanted to see what he's been up to.
I was on a group chat, and my friends were texting pictures of their dads young, and I don't have... They're not on the internet. My dad's not on the internet.
Right. Yeah, whose dads were on there?
Yeah,
well,
just
my girlfriend's dad is a musician, and my other friend's dad is a screenwriter. Charles Gould's dad wrote Cocktail, very famous.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so they shared... And then I was like, I don't know. I don't have any pictures of my dad... in his 20s at the Department of Transportation.
Right.
So here's a picture of Ted Turner.
There you go.
And Charles never realized it wasn't my dad.
Oh, really?
No.
Wow. Like what era Ted Turner? Like push
swashbuckling.
Like,
I found one in his 40s. Like, it was like the best picture I could find. You know, he's got a severe chin dimple. And Charles was like, wow, a chin dimple, and you don't have anything.
Right. You're like, uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I know. It's nuts. He's blonde.
Miracle.
Wow, he's flying his own helicopter. You never told me that your dad was dating Jane Fonda. And
he's like, wait, how come our Adult Swim deal went through? I'm reading that your dad owns fucking Cartoon Network.
What is something you think is overrated, Nick?
I think overrated are following people that you like on Instagram anymore.
Okay.
In the past week, I have deleted maybe 25 people that I have been friends on social media with for a decade.
Okay.
Or more. A lot of it is how, you know, Instagram is filled with comedians' clips.
Right.
Or if you've noticed this, but I only follow comedians. So now it's just comedians doing stand-up with their clips with the words in the bottom, and that's my whole feed, and I said, no, thank you.
Right.
I also unfollowed some people who post really delicious, terrible food all the time.
Right.
Because I'm like, I don't need to see that literally all day.
That's mean.
I got some friends who own some restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, you're done.
Yeah.
I know where you are. I'll be there.
I'll be there. But also, Tacos El Venado.
Yeah, there's just... it was really just some of my closest friends got unfollowed this week.
Mm.
And
closest social media friends or closest like actual
real space actual friends. Got it.
I mean, you don't need your Instagram and Twitter to like interact with who you're actually friends with in real life. You can just keep those two separate.
No, it's just Diana Agron all the time now.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the only one left.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think underrated is bringing out the appetizer before the entree. I want to stab somebody.
Okay.
Last night we went again. You order an appetizer and you order an entree, and they come out at the same time.
Who the fuck does that?
Oh, I mean, half the restaurants on Earth.
Yeah, happens a lot.
I was at Viet Noodle in Atwater last night. Shout out. Really delicious, but I did want to stab them. Yeah,
yeah.
No, everything about the meal was incredible.
Right.
Oh my god!
But
got a
I'm on a podcast shaming them
illegal.
Because the appetizer came out right at the same time. They brought them all out together.
What was the appetizer?
It was crispy rolls.
Yeah,
and what was your main?
It was beef noodle with peanut sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want. Because the whole idea, at least the psychology, when you look at them and you're like, yeah, shit, I need to eat
earlier.
That fucking now.
Right.
And then I'll get into the rest of the meal, but I need this to start.
Yeah. Also, if you make it before the appetizer, save it, buddy. I don't know anything.
Right. Yeah.
I'm dumb.
Right.
Just tell me you just made it. Great.
I don't care. Yeah, just get the shit out in the right order. Yeah, I don't...
It will really... Because I will like fixate on it and it will ruin five minutes of the meal.
Right.
And then my girlfriend's mad at me, and I don't need it. It's probably a lot me.
Right.
But just don't set me off in the wild.
Exactly. Don't fuck with my crispy rolls.
Yeah.
Were they good, though?
It was
good, though.
It was incredible. Yeah. A little too expensive.
Yeah, well, Atwater.
Yeah.
It's coming up. It's coming up. Things are changing over there.
Yeah.
Things are changing in Atwater.
You ever have them forget a appetizer and then offer to bring it out after you put it out to
them? Hilarious. As you're like licking your fingers.
Right.
I'm like, did you still want that?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, no, that'd be great.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm like, is it free? Pack it up.
Right. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is the move.
And it has to be free. People don't get you giving a free things either.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
I'll never forget the time when I was a kid and I got my first free meal. Because I was eating tacos at Nacho Mama from the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
In Nacho Mama's in Richmond, and there was a piece of the ceramic plate in my taco, and I crunched on it, and it was awful. And they said, obviously, this is free. Uh-huh. And then I said, oh, great. So it's obviously free whenever something's really wrong.
Right.
And that is not the case.
Right.
In my adult life.
Is that why you always have a pocket full of ceramic chips in your mouth? You're like, hey, man.
Sir, you came at lunch and did this.
I'm like, how'd you like your burger? Not here. Open it up real quick. Like that. Right. We're getting this for free.
Ceramic chips.
Yeah. Well, the people who say there's no such thing as a free meal, what do they say about that? I guess the cost you're paying is that you ate
breaking
some
your
ceramic.
Teeth.
Yeah. So that would be the price.
Man, if you give me a free meal, I'm coming back. I went to Nacho Mama's 20 times.
Yeah.
You know, you give me a free meal, you're making your money.
And is Nacho Mama still open?
No, they closed recently. Damn. My buddy sent me. It was like 2 years ago they finally closed.
It's confusing wordplay, but it's wordplay nonetheless. Because it's like, because it sounds like not your mom.
Or not your mama's food.
Right, not your mama's food.
Oh, Nacho Mama's Mexican food.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, it works.
Yeah, that does work actually really well.
But it's like,
I'm sorry, Nacho Mama's.
But it'd be funny if, like, was the food authentic or was it like.
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
Because so, then, like, for people who are like Mexican, like, this is definitely not my mom's Mexican food. This is some other shit.
They had fried ice cream. You know, it's like, I thought fried ice cream was like authentic Mexican food, and I have never seen it in New York or LA.
No. Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's like,
that's actually
it's just ice cream rolled in
This is Richmond,
sugar,
Virginia?
Yeah, yeah.
Richmond, Virginia, yeah.
Casa Lupita
to University of Richmond. Spiders.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casa Lupita was the first Mexican restaurant that I went to, and the thing that I remember getting there was fried ice cream. Like, mm-hmm. apparently somebody just told the East Coast and Midwest that fried ice cream was a Mexican delicacy, because, yeah. Those are the only places I've ever had it, is at like Midwestern.
Yeah, you
Mexican
don't realize. I'd never even heard of Oaxacan food before I moved to LA, and that's like half of Mexican food here.
Right.
I just had no idea.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's so weird. When I look up fried ice cream, it's like the Mexican dessert.
It's delicious.
But I'm like, what's it called like in Mexico? Yeah, I don't know. That's
that's one of the age old questions. I mean,
bet
that's
you someone could answer it very easily.
Which came first, chicken and egg? What do they call Mexican ice cream in Mexico?
Is it called helado frito?
Can't you just translate the page or something?
Yeah. And finally,
oh yeah, wait, hold on. Sorry, hold on. Gotta look up helado frito.
Okay.
Receta muy fácil para hacer helado frito en casa en pocos. Okay, great. So I guess. Hey, mate, shout out to this. I think this is a real thing.
Shout out to
And I just didn't
what?
Have it.
Who are you shouting?
Shout out to Nacho Mamas.
Shout out to Nacho Mamas.
I feel cheated. I'm growing up in LA and I've not had fried ice cream.
Mm. So, yeah, you should try it. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true?
Okay, so here I have some considerable credit card debt. It's in the teens. And a friend of mine was telling me, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to... You don't have to...
Who's your friend?
You always want to take financial advice when it starts out with the phrase, here's what you do.
I have not Googled this. It's Greg Barris, a hilarious comedian. Greg Barris.
Here's what you're going to want to do.
Here's what you're going to want to do. Don't declare bankruptcy, you know, because that screws you up for 7 years.
Right.
And what you do is just don't pay it. And then after 7 years, your debt is forgiven. But you don't suffer the consequences of bankruptcy in the meantime.
Really? So what, you just dive bomb your credit?
I guess, but just like, it's already fucked.
Yeah, I guess so.
I do not have good credit.
So you're just like, burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
And then from there, the new growth will sprout up.
Yeah. When we just moved into a new apartment and we had to both give our credit scores, and then the landlord got back to us and they were like, this is bad.
Yeah.
And then we said, uh-huh.
He's like, your girlfriend's credit score was a 740.
Yeah.
Yours was an emoji. It was the poo emoji.
Right. It's an emoji I've never seen before.
It was an emoji of your specific mother crying.
It was somehow a thumbs down and a middle finger at the same time.
And then we said, yeah, what of it? And they're like, yeah, well, I guess...
Yeah.
It's not that
yeah.
I mean, you're renting a tiny place.
They did the you're good for it though, right? Yeah. Credit check.
Yeah.
You're good for it though, right?
Yeah, but like your pay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is Atwater.
Yeah. You good with the needle and thread?
All right. Let's talk about the Mary Jane, as the kids call it.
Yeah.
All the kids call it that, right, Miles?
Oh,
you're not lying to me about that.
Nah, definitely not, officer.
Tell me to.
That's what we call it.
Anyways, a study examined 183 heterosexual couples for some reason specifically and found some interesting things about cannabis use and its effects on intimacy in romantic relationships. We're specifically talking about this because Denver is now basically the new Amsterdam. It's
Shrooms are legal. Mushrooms decriminalized will become the first city to effectively decriminalize mushrooms containing psychedelic psilocybin.
But you still need to buy them from like a weird dude.
They're
not like selling them at the
or just hit me up for
dispensary.
Venmo.
Right.
I was just in Denver and the just doing a run of shows, and then the first show, someone was like, "Hey, do you want this quarter of Bud. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And he's like, if you need any more while you're here, just ask me and I'll give it to you. And
people
I was like,
love...
this should probably be enough for 4 days.
Yeah, you're smoking 7 grams in 4 days?
People love giving comedians weed. Yeah. That seems to be like a thing. Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah.
So if y'all see me, just let this, just so y'all know, it's never enough.
Right.
I'll smoke that quarter right in front of you in one go.
That's rude.
Oh, you have to. I mean, like, and I'll be like, yo, smoke with me. We'll buy a Phillies Titan, and we'll get a thing that's the thickness of a spray paint can, and we'll just take it to the face.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Gang, gang.
And I will not smoke with you.
And you'll just look in a panic
and
be like,
Mary Jane, huh?
I think the cops might come, dude. The cops might, I don't know.
I'll have a panic and think you don't like me.
Yeah, right. I'm like, he's not even high.
Just my contact high is getting really insecure and not being able to talk to anyone.
This dude is 30 feet away. He's texting me if I don't like him. Like, where are you? He's
Miles.
Like, up here in the parking structure. But anyway, in this study, they looked at like a 30-day period. And they asked all the participants to keep track of all the times they were smoking or using marijuana and also tracking what they call intimacy events, like through an app.
Did Nielsen do the study? This is how Nielsen used to test ratings.
And then it says, so at any time, so what they describe as an intimacy event is any time yesterday, did you have an interaction or meaningful conversation with your partner that involved intimacy, love, caring, or support? So it's not just like fucking.
You know what I mean?
Or kissing or feeling each other. It's about, you know, just a real true intimacy, connection.
Yeah.
And so over the course of this experiment, they found a few things. So first with intimacy events, the participants on average reported experiencing an intimacy event 1 out of every 2 days during the 30-day period. And the events were more likely to occur after 5 p.m. than before 5 p.m.
Hmm.
And women reported significantly more intimacy events than men. And now in terms of marijuana use, participants on average reported using marijuana 1 out of every 2 days during the 30-day test period, and men reported significantly more marijuana use than women. So the link here between those data sets, what they found is intimacy events were significantly more likely to occur within 2 hours of a marijuana use episode. And this was true if both partners or even just one partner engaged in marijuana use. Hmm. So together they find, you know, they're finding a little information here. That maybe there is a connection. You're not saying full stop, like, yo, get smoked out and everything will be all good. Because some people should not, I cannot handle smoking weed. And I can't imagine that would help them become more intimate. But they said it's different too. Like they did a similar study with alcohol.
Mm.
And the only time the intimacy events were more frequent was with both people, both partners were using the alcohol. Like it couldn't just be one.
Yeah, there's no
whereas
more.
This one, yeah, it could just be one person being faded.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, you're chilled out. Or whatever. Maybe you just feel more open.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a broad definition of intimacy event.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are good things to have happen in your relationship. But, you know, like that's the sort of thing that I feel like marijuana use or a lot of different drug use is like.
Marijuana's not a drug.
Narcotic.
It's from God and it's from the earth.
Oh, okay. My bad. Vegetable consumption.
Veggies. I'm vegan.
But I feel like it's good at like making you maybe stop and like appreciate things around you more, like whether that be somebody that you're in a relationship with or not.
Or maybe it just shows like shared cultural norms too, that like you might already kind of be on the same page if you are two people who are like, yeah, you smoke weed. Yeah, that's fine. You smoke weed.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
True.
Versus like I know people who are in relationships where one person's like, absolutely not. Mm. And you smell like weed when you come home from Miles's place.
Yeah, but that would still indicate increased likelihood of an intimacy event, right?
What do you mean?
Because isn't it even if one person uses marijuana, they're still more likely to?
Yeah. I guess so. But I guess I just mean like if people don't have the same sort of values around its use. Like if someone's very like, you know, dare brain and they're like, oh, drug, weed so bad, you'll get whatever.
Yeah.
Then I think already that person might not be very open minded.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I'm not trying to box people in.
Yeah.
All I know is if you smoke weed with me, we'll be very intimate.
Well, as someone whose podcast has a weed sponsor, shout out to Smart Bud.
Damn.
I like to get high a lot and fuck. So I got no problems with this.
Hey, all right, Playboy.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, yeah, it all makes sense. After five, that's usually when you're smoking pot and having sex.
Sure.
You're usually not having sex at work.
Yeah. Mm.
Usually after
Yeah. Depending on where you work.
Mm-hmm. I have always conflated all of these things together because right at the time I saw started smoking and started having sex, and I watched Annie Hall right before that, and she has to get high every time they have sex.
Oh, right.
Which makes sense because it's Woody Allen.
Right.
And so that thought has like never left my brain, and right. I've always thought that.
Yeah, yeah.
That weed always helps sex. And as an everyday smoker, I'm rarely having sex without weed.
Mm. Yeah.
And when I do, it's still great.
All right.
Wow. So you're good at Nick's. Sex is
I'm
what I'm
so
hearing.
Good at, you know, let me bring my girlfriend in here.
All right. Great.
That's a fleshlight.
Her name is Lion.
Her name is Tenga.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back, and there's some disturbing shit going on with reproductive rights in the United States right now, specifically in Ohio, Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, Iowa, and North Dakota.
And Missouri, too,
yeah,
is on its way.
Yeah. So basically, those six states have, for all intents and purposes, like, banned abortion.
Yeah.
Through these heartbeat bills that they just passed.
And they call them cutesy heartbeat bills, you know, that are like, but by the time there is a heartbeat in a fetus, most people aren't even aware that they're pregnant.
Right.
So it's essentially like, you know, it's a very, very troubling thing. Because when you listen, when you even just look at the laws that are happening, like we are, I mean, my God, we are going to this dystopian world that I don't know what to say as a man, aside from my heart. It just, I cannot imagine. For example, right, in Georgia, which is a particularly disgusting bill, it's criminalizing abortions. People can go to jail for seeking an abortion. Doctors can go to jail for performing them after 6 weeks. And it will even be illegal to go to another state to obtain an abortion or even help someone else to do so. So, like, I don't know how else you can say that is anything but a full-on assault on the reproductive rights of people.
Jesus
like,
Christ. For,
even if you're trying to help somebody.
Right.
And even in a lot of these bills, they don't even have, you know, a lot of these pro-life people used to be like, okay, well, of course, we support abortion in the case of rape or incest. But in Ohio,
some of them, not a lot of them,
right.
But
some
of them,
but at least I guess I'm more thinking about like presidential debates. That's usually when you would hear that. That's when like, you know, the Mitt Romneys of the world would be like, I'm pro-life. But in cases of rape and incest, obviously. Well, in Ohio, right, there was this news story that came out about, you know, and this is a very just disturbing story about this 11-year-old girl who was raped by a 26-year-old man, impregnated, and because of the bill in Ohio, can't seek an abortion.
Right.
And there, because there are no exceptions in that state. And when with this law, they're essentially will be forcing this 11-year-old to carry the child to term. And, you know, obviously people are going to sue these states to hell. But I think that's basically the plan, because in Roe versus Wade, it said no state can outlaw abortions before the fetus is determined to be viable, which is somewhere around 24 weeks. But in these other states, they're still passing these six-week abortion bans, basically so that these lawsuits will work their way to the Supreme Court and eventually just overturn Roe versus Wade.
Right.
And when you look at how conservative this court is, that is a very real threat to reproductive rights.
And are these like the super conservative local justices that we've been hearing that the conservatives, like under the Trump administration, have just been like kind of slamming through?
In the future, those will be the kinds of judges who will hear those cases. I know in Kentucky, there was an Obama appointee who did actually block it.
Right.
But it's still, you know, there are many ways to get these bills to eventually the Supreme Court, which is ultimately, that's just the strategy at this point, because the Supreme Court is completely stacked, or, you know, it's tilted towards conservatives. And in Georgia, you know, Coca-Cola, Amazon, the Writers Guild, they were saying like they would leave the state if, quote unquote, Governor Kemp signed the bill into law. The ACLU said they're going to sue, but it's just troubling.
Man.
It's so disturbing to think that these people have no ability to determine what they want to do with their own bodies, especially in the case of, I mean, obviously this is an extreme example, but an 11-year-old child who is going to have to relive this trauma for at least the next 9 months or however long it takes for this pregnancy to go on, then to have the child. You know, there are a lot of organizations that you can donate to and look into, because this is going to be a very it's a very significant issue that I think a lot of people need to keep their eyes on, because these are the kinds of rights that are just slipping through our fingers right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, and this is reproductive rights especially are such an important thing. And it's wild to think, too, when a lot of people are actually polled about the heartbeat bill, they're like, oh, I think that makes sense. Well, if it's a heartbeat, then yeah. But when they actually explain that it's like 6 weeks and the time it takes to even realize you're pregnant, there's a significant amount of people who go, oh, actually, no, that's terrible. And it's not like these bills.
Yeah, if you present it like, do you want to kill a baby with a heartbeat?
Right.
No.
Right. And it's excellent. But it's also like, oh, but by the time these people find out, they're past the window where they could have an abortion anyway. So it's kind of this, you know, catch 22.
So can people, other than in Georgia, go to other states to seek them?
It depends on the state laws, but in Georgia, I mean, yeah, like they will throw the book at you. And not to mention, they will even investigate miscarriages.
Jesus Christ.
So if they determine that a pregnant person did something that led to the miscarriage, they would be jailed.
No.
Right.
What the fuck?
And I mean, I don't know how you are going to criminally investigate someone having a miscarriage.
Right.
Oh, a trauma you go through having a miscarriage. And then you have to fight the cops
fucking
to stay
right.
out of
to
jail.
Be like, investigating like what whether he thinks you did the right thing.
With a Bible in his hand.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I don't this is what's going on. And it's definitely spreading through different states, but I mean this is the kind of thing that a lot of people were worried about, and this is what, you know, when the second Brett Kavanaugh got on the Supreme Court and everyone's like, this is what's gonna happen. Yeah. They're going to find their way to do it, and they go, okay, let's enact these laws. They're going to obviously sue. We'll argue this shit to the Supreme Court, and, you know, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh give conservatives a W. But we'll see.
Wow.
Roberts, man. Hopefully Roberts is the new Kennedy.
You'd hope.
Sometimes when I do stand up in a conservative area, I'll open by just saying some points about how liberal I am, just so they're not surprised
right.
when it happens. And I used to have a joke where I say that I think abortion should be mandatory in all cases of pregnancy. I couldn't be more pro-abortion. Right. I hope everyone gets one early and often. And I hope that one day they let us men have them too.
That's my joke. Do people actually applaud?
Yeah. Okay, I'm the only one clapping.
I'm some guy's like, hey, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Right. He's all just right, at the gym right now. Right. But, yeah.
You say let him do them or let him?
Yeah. please keep your eye on this, because this is something that is, we'll have some links to some organizations you can kind of check out to stay up to date with everything that's going on.
I mean, what a normal everyday problem, you know, to criminal, you know. Right. Like, I've never had an abortion, but I've bought some day after pills in my day.
Right.
So I have the money to do it. Mm-hmm. Some people don't.
Right.
Really sad.
Yeah. And then when you think about people who might not even have the support network where they're like, there's no way they can get out of their county or their town or their state. Mm-hmm. And are in a terrible situation. And then on top of it, you have these fucking ghouls in their state houses enacting these laws. I mean, in Georgia, like, that bill only passed by like 2 votes. Mm. And like, that's where you realize, even in these state houses, what these majorities mean for conservatives or liberals or whatever. Like, these are the kinds of things that are being fought on the state level that end up going to the Supreme Court and affecting things nationally. But, you know, the marathon continues.
While we're scaring the shit out of you, let's look at a dystopia overseas in China, because the stories that the New York Times podcast, The Daily, did on the Chinese security state earlier this week are pretty wild. So basically, we talked last year about how China is at the forefront of facial recognition technology because they're able to force every one of their billion citizens to submit for a facial scan. So basically their algorithm is way sharper because it has so many more faces that have been used as inputs. And they're using that power for some like really dark shit. Right now, there's this minority group of Muslims in China known as the Uyghur population. And there was a race riot back in 2009 that was, you know, 200 people died, and China responded to that sort of in the, they over-responded to it and have been basically persecuting the Uyghurs ever since. And the region is now, like, they interviewed this reporter who had gone to the region, and, you know, he's followed everywhere by People's Republic of China, officials who are just like constantly following any foreign people. But he said it's a surreal combination of like you have mud huts and generally like a cityscape that looks like it's from hundreds of years ago, except every other building has these like extremely high tech People's Republic of China camera hanging on it. And they did a faux medical scan a couple years ago where the government bought Uyghurs in and got blood samples and scanned their faces in order to basically fully document like their DNA and figure out like who's related to who, so they can basically, even if you do something even if you escape after like doing something that pisses them off, they will be like, okay, well, every member of your extended family tree is now in a prison camp.
So it's like a dark, fucked up 23andMe situation. Like,
right.
We've mapped out all your genetic sequence, and we actually already know who everyone's who's related to you.
Yeah. So it's the most power that any authority has ever had over a massive number of people, because they have these cameras that are just everywhere that can immediately identify you because of their facial recognition technology. And ever since 2008 and the Beijing Olympics, they've been, you know, they used that as a opportunity to sort of show off this technology that they have. And now it's starting to appear in like Venezuela, Ecuador, and just other countries around the world. They basically are selling it to other countries that are interested in being autocratic. So as fucked up as our government is, like, it could be way more fucked up if we eventually...
We're headed there.
They start using this technology. It's
what are
really...
some more applications of this technology? Because the one that you gave where they know who your extended family is, but like, isn't that kind of information kind of easier to get?
Yeah, I'm sure, but I think if you wanted to lie or something and claim you were someone else, they could genetically be like, no, you're this person, and you're related to these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just have everybody mapped, and they know exactly where you are. It's in real time. It's just like a higher level of just knowledge.
So they just have a group of oppressed, like a Muslim minority population with that's just surveilled to shit.
They're putting in giant prison camps, like very like concentration camps.
Which is so funny because the president is then, he's like trying to get other countries to put pressure on China to deal with the Uyghurs more compassionately.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wow, you care about oppressed Muslim populations?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Or is that just for your trade war? Because right now he's about to take up as of now, I think that another set of tariffs are about to kick in. You know, that the trade, quote unquote, trade war is not doing so well for a lot of people on both sides, as much as Trump wants to claim like total victory on that.
Yeah.
And even like the vice premier or someone from a Chinese economic think tank was sort of like, they're like, really, does he think he's winning the war? Because every day he's trying to pressure the Fed to lower interest rates.
Right.
And he's like, oh, the economy's doing that hot,
mm-hmm.
but you are constantly insisting on lowering interest rates. It's, you know. Yeah.
Bloomberg said that the president wiped President Trump wiped $1.5 trillion off of the Wall Street books with a single tweet the other day.
Which one?
It was the one about Chinese trade policy and basically saying like it hasn't been working. And
oh, the one who's like, do they want to wait it out for a Biden or something?
Yeah.
When he was like, they want to trade with that guy. They're trying to ruin my re-election.
Well, he said the 10%. Tariffs will go up to 25% on Friday. $325 billion of additional goods sent to us by China remain untaxed, but will be shortly at a rate of 25%. It was a really long tweet, and even then, it was $13 billion for each of the 102 words in the tweet, is what he cost banks. And I'm not too broken up about Wall Street bankers losing money.
No, but it's just sort of
like, far as Wall Street pulls a lot of weight in this country, it seems like they would be not thrilled.
Right. Well, and it just all fits into his whole policy. Just bluff until somebody pulls your card and then you fucking retreat and you're like, it's never worked.
Right.
And we're seeing that happen over and over. He did that with his own businesses where they were saying like he would heavily invest in a company, bluff like he was going to take over, drive the stock price up, and then sell just off of the, you know, notion that he might take over.
Right.
And then
he would get $10,000.
Right, right, on top of that. And then even then, like, even the foreign policy, the same thing. Pull up with your chest out. Oh, Kim Jong-un, you better not do this. Oh, he heard me. Cut to a short-range missile test launch. And then he's like, oh, well, the thing is, we agreed on long-range missiles, not short-range missiles. So he still respects me. There's nothing to suggest that there's anything about his leadership is effective. And I mean, we say this every fucking day, but yeah, now we're in that part.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like if people like us weren't so anti-Trump, that people who support him would maybe accept that he's a fuck up, but they're like doing it to
just spite the culture war.
the culture war. Yeah, like he's so bad at his job.
Like, yeah, but I think at the end of the day, right, like his fuck-ups haven't really hit them in a way that they can really be like, mo fuck.
Right.
Because it's such a slow boil into being destitute or whatever that you can still, again, like we said, the same reasoning is still working, like pointing the finger at marginalized people and like, oh, that's the reason why you don't have shit. See, and that's right. Why we got to be mean to them. Like, that's still working. So I think until that strategy or that rhetoric doesn't work on them anymore and they realize, oh, wait, this is a function of capitalism when I'm being crushed by or whatever, and that's why I don't have anything. I no longer have to blame people who have less than me. Maybe things will change then. But I think until now, it's just easy to just go to their little MAGA rallies, put their hats on, scream rah, 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 make jokes about shooting immigrants, and keep it moving.
Right. All right. Well, in honor of Mother's Day, guys, we want to give you one piece of good news. Kraft, looking out for you, moms.
Yeah.
Kraft Foods, you know, they're a food company, so they're not evil.
Yeah, they just own every... Fuck, God, it's so wild when you look at like everything that's actually a Kraft Foods brand.
Yeah,
they own everything. Of choice.
But they are giving mothers an opportunity for a $100 reimbursement for childcare to give moms a much-needed Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
And this is getting picked up all over the place.
The thing is, right, it's so generous of them.
Right.
They've put $50,000 into this pool for the mothers of America to get reimbursed for childcare.
$50,000 of Kraft's dollars?
So
wait, I couldn't tell if this was an ad you were doing
or we were about to shit on it. No, now about to rip their fucking face off. Because it's one of those things, look like it's a PR stunt. You're like, oh, wow, Kraft, you're doing so great. Because there was a thing on care.com, I believe. They did a survey about what mothers would really, like what like working moms, just mothers actually want. Just in general, not just on one day because, you know, the emphasis of just being like, and here's the one day for moms. Mm-hmm. And then after that, let's go back to like our gender normative thing of like, you just don't need to handle that.
Right.
So the things that they were asking for, like that were scoring very highly in the survey was for people like, look, if you want to help your moms out, cook your own damn meals more, is what they said. Clean up after yourself more. Let moms sleep in. Be courteous, which is so sad. Fucking respect your moms. Come on now. Right. And then give them more opportunities for alone time. And that's where Kraft was like, ooh, here's our opportunity to just make ourselves look like we're really down with giving people childcare. First of all, when you even look at the cost of childcare and how much people are spending on childcare in this country, it is a huge issue. And we don't actually even, we're not taking it seriously enough, thinking of like the amount of the fraction of someone's income that goes to childcare in certain instances, like astronomical to the point where they have to put all these other needs aside because childcare is so important. So that's what makes this like $100 reimbursement really fucking lame to me. Because A, it's $50,000. That's 500 people.
Right.
You know how many? There's an estimated, 40 to 43 million mothers in this country?
Right.
So what is that? One millionth of a percent? One hundred thousandth of a percent?
People could say, like, you know, we're being cynical about this. I would like to compare the amount of $50,000 they're giving away to the amount of money they're spending on the campaign to get the word out that they're doing this,
right,
which is probably in the tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. For the fiscal year 2017, Kraft Heinz reported earnings of $11 billion. With an annual revenue of $26.2 billion. So they made $26.2. They, 11 of that was profit.
Right.
So.
Well, look, if the pool hasn't run out, you can go to their website and upload a receipt or whatever.
There is no company that large that shouldn't be completely dismantled and everyone at the top should go to jail.
Oh, yeah. No.
I 100% believe
that. Those like mega conglomerates.
There's just no reason. If you've consolidated that amount of money, that should be criminal and you should be forced to give it back and go to jail.
Yeah. The effects of all that consolidation are written all over the face of this country.
Right.
So, you know, whether that's abstract to some people or not, that's sort of that's the deal. And again, the fucking lame ass charitable giving from these companies just miss me with that shit. Cause like when, you know, what did Jeff Bezos give recently? Like he gave like $1 billion.
Right.
And they're like, that's like less than a fraction
of his
wealth.
He didn't pay taxes.
Yeah.
He owed $1 billion in taxes.
Right.
Right.
It's like, oh, I have an extra billion?
Yeah. And so $50,000, it's like, I think that's where maybe, you know, we need the government to be like, look, bro, come up off those profits or we're breaking this whole shit up.
Right.
You know, why don't you claim $1 billion in profit? That other 10, why don't you put that back into the people? Saying,
Miles for president.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'll be on the weed platform.
But yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
When is Mother's Day? The 19th?
The 12th.
Oh, it's the 12th? Oh, shit. That's Mama! Kind of... She's in Japan
happy,
right now.
I say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and future mothers.
There you go.
And yeah. Fathers.
And everybody.
Mm. And, yeah.
And just, yeah, I mean, look, Jack, I know you're a parent,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
One day I'll be a parent, maybe, if the world is around.
Yeah.
So that's one of my fears.
If someday the two of us beat science,
if
we can finally make that baby.
Nick and I will have the first baby. That would be tight.
That would be incredible.
Have you seen that?
Can you imagine how popular this podcast would be?
Oh, yeah. Did you see that Brent Weinbach video of the man who gave birth?
Oh, was that a while ago?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Google that.
Yeah.
But not at work.
That was like 12 years ago.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And we're grunting. We're just stretching out here. We're talking about McDonald's. Because they're bringing their international hits.
Yes!
To the U.S., yeah. baby.
Bring them.
Bring the show. Bring it on home. I mean, look, before you could only get some of these at the headquarters in the Chicago right. location. So people in Chicago were spoiled.
Right. I've seen some extremely whack international McDonald's food items. Like, I've seen, like, Spam burgers and shit like that.
Oh, I would eat that.
Yeah. It's, but
I'm nasty, though.
You are nasty.
I eat corned beef hash out of can.
But these actually look pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Well, see, they did a good thing here.
Yeah.
They got things that I feel like will easily translate to an American palate. You're not hitting people with the teriyaki burger like in Japan. I mean, although most people like that anyway.
The Stroopwafel!
Yeah, the Stroopwafel McFlurry from the Netherlands. Uh-huh. This looks beautiful.
Yes.
Vanilla soft serve, caramel, chopped Dutch, Delman's Stroopwafel caramel waffle cookie pieces.
Yes, sir.
That's a winner.
Yes, please.
From Spain. And I love this name because it sounds like
so
the most European version of what a McDonald's thing has to be called. The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger.
The Grand McExtreme.
Dude, shout out to the Grand McExtreme. What they got. That one is just burger, bacon, smoky McBacon sauce. Don't know what that is.
Smoky
Gouda
McBacon
cheese
sauce.
And onions. Okay, I'll fuck with that. And then from Canada, from the straight up north.
Are they really getting Gouda? Like actual Gouda cheese? McDonald's?
Look, come on. All right. Don't make it hot for them.
Okay.
Who knows? I'm just, McDonald's.
I don't know, man. When they started buying apples for their salad, they became the number one purchaser of apples in the world.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, sometimes they have to buy real ingredients.
Sorry, Mott.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Face Mott's.
Shout out to fucking Big Gouda, dorks. Then. They're about to fucking make a killing. And then another one, tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich. Grilled or crispy, sliced tomatoes, herb sauce, creamy mozzarella cheese, onions, and lettuce. I mean, that
sounds great to
that's
me.
That's standard. I really just for the name, like Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was called Uncle Sam's Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger. And then they're like,
guess what sounds good? Literally everything McDonald's has ever made. Sounds good.
Yeah.
But then you get there and you're like, all right,
it's McDonald's
made it. In a lab next to them breeding mice with ears on their backs.
Right. Yeah.
Which are delicious. Have you tried them? They're so fucking good.
With little moths and some tomato.
Tomato. I do believe, however, that the Stroopwafel McFlurry is unfuck-upable.
Yeah.
That looks impossible to fuck up.
Caramel, yeah. Cookie, yeah.
Yeah.
Vanilla ice cream, yeah.
Yeah.
Waffle.
Give me that.
Fine.
Put it in my mouth.
It wasn't like suddenly it was like, and turmeric. You know, and then you're like,
It should be.
Yeah, like my... The thing that I would have expected from like a European country would be like a black licorice McFlurry.
Right.
Like with
the Reisstoffel McFlurry.
Yes.
We were in Seoul, Korea 1 year for my girlfriend's birthday. My brother was getting married, but it was also just happened to be my girlfriend's birthday nearing the end of the trip. And it's more difficult than a lot of countries to eat food, to figure out what you're doing in Seoul.
Mm.
It was a little trying sometimes. And then on her birthday, in the morning, I took her surprise to McDonald's.
Nice.
It's like two gross Americans. Yeah. Yeah. The reverse.
We need a break. Huh?
And
let's go to McDonald's.
We went in there and I recognized every single dish. There wasn't anything there that wasn't like in an American McDonald's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was nothing.
I wonder if it's because Korean food is so different from anything that would be on the McDonald's menu that they're like, we're not even going to fuck with this. Like, we're not, what are we going to put kimchi on the menu? Like, McDonald's served kimchi?
Hold on to your butts because Korean McDonald's, they got something for you. You got the soul.
Oh, give me.
Soul spicy chicken.
Also, it was breakfast.
With slaw.
So they probably, they could have had a lot of stuff that just
wasn't kimchi shaker fries?
Okay. Oh, for real?
Ooh. We got to take a trip to Seoul. I'm a Seoul man.
Yeah, I mean, because breakfast is a American invention, they probably don't have that many
breakfast.
Other things.
Is breakfast an American invention?
Yeah.
The way we know it, maybe.
The way we know
I don't know.
Like it being a big meal. Other people.
Yeah, like the farmers decided we need to eat 1,800 calories
an
for breakfast.
An ad person actually decided that. An advertiser was like, how do we make bacon sales go up?
Well, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, well, it worked on that dude who was on Fox News, had the plate of 10 fucking sunny side up eggs.
Yo, that guy is my hero.
It was on Fox the other day or 2 days ago. They were, you know, they do segments where they talk to people, the real Americans and diners and stuff. And they go up to a guy to talk about like Trump, Russia stuff. And he's like, I think it's all, you know, garbage. He's got a Trump hat on. And when you look at the shot, it was on Twitter. He had a fucking plate that had 10 sunny side up eggs on it and like a little stack of toast.
No.
And it was almost like, what the fuck is this? What's your cholesterol like, my friend?
I think the people that think eggs are bad for you and the people that think eggs are good for you can both agree that that's not good for you.
And if that's your average, if you're doing like every day.
That's 700 calories just in protein.
Yeah, man.
Just in your eggs.
He lifts a lot, though.
Talk about an egg slut. Am I right?
Oh, boy, yay.
Do you think he calls himself that?
Nah, probably not.
Do you think he also went to egg slut right after that to eat some more?
Yeah, exactly. And then I get lunch at egg slut. Right. And then I have a quiche for dinner.
Do you think the people listening to this know that
there's a restaurant?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Egg slut is a store.
For people who are not in Los Angeles, are they only in L.A.?
Yeah, it's an L.A. chain.
Oh, is it? Shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thought it was making a...
It's only been a chain, I mean, even for like 2 years.
Okay.
Oh, there's one in Las Vegas, too.
Yes, baby. Nice.
So look, we're branching out.
That's where normal people live.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like East Vegas or Henderson, you know?
All right, guys.
I had to work a Senate race in Nevada, so I was like...
How'd you do?
Oh, we did fine. We did fine. We beat a woman who was unelectable, so it all worked out.
But you made sure people knew she was unelectable.
Yeah, we did make sure, yes.
With those pictures that you leaked.
Set her up on camera.
Yes, sir.
That's on a different podcast called Miles' Old Political Dirt.
Let's check in with Google. Because we didn't know you were coming. We didn't check in with the Bing trends. We checked in with Google trends.
Well, I can't help with this.
Right. So, a couple of things that are trending right now at the end of this week.
One thing I have to add: there are two more egg slut locations internationally. You know where they are?
No.
Beirut, Lebanon, and Kuwait.
Oh, wow. Damn.
So they shout out to whoever fucking licensed that shit. They're like, you know, they're going to love this in Lebanon.
Right.
How does business work?
I know. That's when you know some other like international marketing company comes in and goes, I can get you into Kuwait City.
Right. And I have data that says that they are dying. Right. They are a city of egg sluts.
You know, have you guys been to DeSano's Pizza, which is a local pizza restaurant?
In Santa Monica?
Well, there's one in Hollywood. I guess they opened one in Santa Monica. I didn't know.
On Santa Monica.
Yeah. And anyway, so I was in an airport in Fort Lauderdale, and what did I see? But the second location for DeSano's
really
is in an airport in Fort Lauderdale. They are the same company. You can look it up.
The owner of that,
you can bing it.
Side fact: when I used to work on Hell's Kitchen, is the maitre d' of the Hell's Kitchen, Marino. Is one of the owners of DeSano Pizza.
You used to run Hell's Kitchen?
No, I used to work on the show.
Oh.
Cool.
It was a lowly.
I thought you meant the entire neighborhood.
The area
in New York.
No.
Ran.
The Gordon Ramsay competitive game show, Hell's Kitchen.
Got it.
Which was shot on a soundstage where Wizard of Oz was shot. But anyway.
Chapter 2 is trending. It looks terrifying. I didn't even see the first one. This looks terrifying. The cast they got to play the grown-up versions of the kids, they got Jessica Chastain, Bill Hader, and James McAvoy. Yeah, it's going to be wild.
Did the trailer just come out?
Yeah, the trailer for Chapter 2 just came out. It's fucking terrifying. It Chapter 2 is terrifying. Giannis Antetokounmpo is trending. Yeah.
The Greek freak.
The Greek freak is doing things like I always root for people who are doing things on the basketball court that like you've never seen before. And he has officially like busted through like the Kool-Aid man into that realm. He's crazy.
He's an unstoppable force.
Does he like walk on his hands and shoot with his feet?
Yeah.
Kind of.
He's the first player to fart a ball off of his butt into the net. Into the hoop.
But I saw that in Tijuana once.
Doing stuff we've never seen, man.
He'll like drive from the 3-point arc and get to the rim in a single step. Like he's just the longest, most athletic dude. And like dunk it. It's crazy. And yeah, he just destroyed the Celtics, which I love to see. I picked the Celtics to go to the finals, and I was wrong and happy to be wrong about that.
But you do that because you know you're cursed, and that's how you get the Celtics to not make the finals.
That's right.
You're like, I pick them for the finals.
Yeah, yeah. And when the season started, I picked the Chicago Bulls, baby.
Hey, all right. How'd that go?
We'll see.
Good eye.
Hey,
good
we'll
eye.
See, man.
It's not over yet.
Yeah, the Bulls might still.
Always get a lawsuit.
Yeah, you never know. There might be a loophole. We might get into the back door.
Tesla was trending on, again, not the number one search engine, Bing, but it was trending on a search engine called Google.
Google. I'll Bing that.
Yeah, Google.
Google.
And it was actually the number one search term on my favorite search engine, Pornhub, because someone filmed a porn in a Tesla while it was on autopilot mode and made Tesla the number one trending search on Pornhub and got it into the Google
trends.
So shout out to you.
Was it POV porn?
No, it's kind of like a weird angle. Like the screenshots that I saw of it, like it looks like it's from above. Yeah, that's all I saw.
Oh, like they hooked a GoPro to the ceiling or something?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, that's a flex where you're like, you're holding the camera and then you look out the window like, no one's in the driver's seat.
Right.
Fucking reckless.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out to Tesla for the greatest marketing stunt.
And potential Darwin Award winner of the year.
Yeah. It was like an official porn shoot, though, because I guess the...
They fucked the
performer.
Like the gas tank.
Yeah. Yes.
No, there is no gas tank.
The performer is a porn star, a name porn star, apparently.
Who?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Riley Reed.
And?
I don't know. I just was filling in a blank space.
And Mr. Charles.
6 energy drinks a day. Not good for you. A woman who had that every day for...
Too long.
Turns out she had to have a pacemaker put in at age 33.
Had a second-degree heart blockage after she passed out.
Right.
But it's hard to know, like, if that's what caused it.
Or because, the meth.
Yeah, well,
right.
She says she has a real hectic lifestyle. She's got 3 kids. She has insomnia, so, like, the energy drinks help her stay awake. But it seemed like she may have just been in poor health and the energy drinks was only exacerbating
it. She has insomnia, yeah.
Yeah.
You drank an energy drink before.
Right,
that.
Right. That's what I'm like, when I read it, I'm like, it's like, I don't know if it's exactly like these energy drinks did that. It's like, this may have been a sort of out of control train wreck.
If your lifestyle is such that you are considering drinking 6 energy drinks a day, there's something off. Like, just go to the doctor instead of drinking 6 energy drinks a day.
Yeah, well, we got to look out. Look out for anybody who's... having to stay that caffeinated in general.
I wonder if
it's
there was
a cry
a moment,
for help, I think, either way.
I wonder if there was a moment where she was like, you know what? 5's not enough.
Yeah,
I'm going to bump it up.
Right. You
know,
I'm
going to do 6 now.
First, it was like 4. And they're like, come on now. Like, come on, Samantha.
That's normal. One for every meal. All 4 meals. Fourth
exactly.
meal, taco.
Fourth meal, taco. Thank you. Yeah. Then 5th meal, then 6th meal. And then it's like, that's when I eat 3 a.m. at Waffle House.
I used to drink probably 4 sugar-free Red Bulls a day.
Back
in the crack days.
Wow.
How many? Consistently.
Pretty consistently. It was only for like a couple months, but I could like feel like my fingernails loosening. Like it was like bad. It was not good.
Your fingernails loosening.
Yeah. I was not
Oh, is that
healthy.
Why you type with the back of your fingers?
Uh-huh. Yeah with
3.
My yeah.
Hmm. I used to do 1 pretty regularly back when I was like in New York when it was like day job and then got to do comedy at night
right.
and stay out all day. But I take naps 6-7 a day now.
Yeah. Shout out to naps.
Yeah.
Shout out to people who have the luxury to take a nap, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Naps should be a right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Blessing.
You shouldn't have to travel to a different state to get a nap.
Exactly.
And finally, the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones coming this weekend. We wanted to take this opportunity to say goodbye to the characters we know are going to pass because we have a leaked script. And that, we actually don't know shit. Nick, you especially don't know shit. You're a season behind.
All I know is what I've written in my fan fiction.
Great. So I think I like to know from, how far are you in season 7 right now?
I'm 3 episodes.
Okay, 3 episodes in?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you think it's going to, what do you think the penultimate episode is going to happen based on from where you're seated?
I think by the end there's going to be a hashtag 4th dragon Taco Bell.
Oh, that is something people are thinking about, though. Hashtag Fourth Dragon.
I can't imagine anyone you care about will be left alive.
Interesting.
You know, I want everyone to die.
You want everyone to die?
Everyone to die, because we can't see them anyway. I don't want them to continue living their lives after I.
No,
can't
it has to
do
be done.
To. Kill them.
Y'all not gonna have fun while
you know what I
don't
want.
Get to see.
I want like the dragons to blow fire on all the eunuchs and they get their penises back.
Wow. Varys might like that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine all those hot dudes just suddenly get penises? Like,
oh, you're like, talking about the Unsullied.
The Unsullied.
Yeah, that was the Unsullied. Too.
Yeah. Wait, do they have? Were they castrated?
Oh, not Reek. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were castrated. Not...
That's weird though. That like we there's a lot of characters that have had their dick cut off in that show. Like there's Reek.
Yeah.
Once you start with it, you can't go in. You just got
Pandora's box,
it.
Man.
There's the spider.
Varys.
And then there's an entire army of them.
But they have their genitals removed or they are castrated?
Isn't that the same thing?
Castration
is like beheading.
Testes too?
Castration is you have your testicles removed.
Okay.
But isn't a eunuch having your penis and your balls cut off?
I don't know, man.
You know
that's
what? We
really
never
good
get
question.
A good shot down there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to be the last shot. It's going to be like the
like
end of Boogie Nights. Yeah, it's just going to be Varys in
a
mirror.
No, I guess a eunuch is also a person who has had, from antiquity, had been castrated in order to serve a specific social function.
Castrato.
Yeah, who were
Oh, there is a eunuch,
wild,
like who, that bald
yeah,
sage.
Varys.
That's Varys. Yeah. Right.
I mean, either way, yeah, restore everybody. If they want to be, you know, if they're living their life, then do your thing. But magic dragon breath to bring the hardware back.
I also want like one scene in the finale that's just like 100 coffee cups. Just like, just to be like, fuck y'all.
The coffee cup thing was like people really went, I don't know. It seemed like we needed something to distract ourselves.
Yeah,
that
day. I mean, it's pretty
because
silly.
Because people were just all
Well, it is just a weird
shit.
Fuck up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
for
also,
a show that's
I,
so thorough about
I haven't
keeping
seen
things
it, but I heard that the creators were in that scene.
Yeah, they were also in the scene.
That's so funny.
It was definitely his coffee cup.
So funny.
Yeah.
And no one could like,
right.
like I guess, don't tell DB
right.
that he's
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah,
so you're going to get fucked.
Benioff will rip your fucking face off. But again, you know, just go full confidence as if you know what's happening.
Sure.
Just describe to me what happens in the penultimate scene.
Oh.
Give me three acts.
Well, can I just say that Tyrion and... Daenerys.
Okay.
He thinks Tyrion and Daenerys are still alive. Sorry, I'm being a dick.
I don't know what's happening. Okay.
No,
well,
no, that's not true.
No,
that's
not true.
Well, I think
everybody's
that they definitely win, and then they kill
win.
Everybody personally.
Okay, personally.
And then, they're about to kiss.
Uh-huh.
Because and they turn to the camera and they're like, "You didn't really think it was gonna end that way, did you?" And then their soulmates appear and like whoever they are, I don't know, but they come and they have two different and they rule together.
Wow.
Yeah.
As like
as husband and wife of other people.
Wow. Okay.
And
like
the
that.
People and Daenerys' husband has two penises.
Dang. Oh, the dude from Reddit?
What?
Two Dick Rick? Or whatever. There's a dude on Reddit who did an AMA. He's like, I'm the guy with two penises.
Ask me anything.
And ask me whatever.
Yeah. Well, I got one question. Can I send it to a pic?
Oh, yeah. It's on there.
Oh,
that's
cool.
How he opened it.
He opened it. He's like, y'all think I'm bullshitting.
Right.
Okay. I'm the man with two penises.
Yeah. No, just I got a whole thing.
He said dudes are way more into it than women.
Okay. Hmm. Two penises, Reddit.
That rules.
Okay, now I just got to wait 25 minutes to Bing this.
Oh, it's on your phone, too? Damn. It's like, I can't escape Bing, man.
You have to get in line to Bing. Bing is a one-at-a-time search engine.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, it's fitting that the penultimate episode is happening on Mother's Day. There's a couple mothers having the mother of all showdowns.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Wow.
It's, I don't know. I need some big characters to... Lose the Game of Thrones, so to speak.
Yeah, it's hard to say what we want to happen with out of respect for your journey.
Well, and everyone, because why do you know?
Well, we typically tell people this is spoilers. We're like, yo, just skip this part if you don't
right.
want. If you don't
did
want
you say that
up.
This time?
We did.
No, but we didn't really spoil anything.
Yeah.
I saw a spoiler on Facebook. It said spoiler, and then
the spoiler.
One of the biggest Game of Thrones spoilers. And there wasn't even like a space. It wasn't
right.
even on a different line.
Right.
They were just like, spoiler this.
Right. And not realizing our eyes just track very naturally
right.
to
like,
the next word.
What are you talking about? And then I wrote on there, I'm just like, hey, just to let you know, this was a bummer.
Yeah.
Right.
The spoil, you got to do like the thing where it's way lower.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So you got to click see more. And then he responded in no way.
Right.
Huh.
Because you know what the rules are? What is it, 48 hours?
Yeah, 48 hours for a TV show, 2 weeks for a movie.
I got different rules.
Okay.
Here's my rules. No spoilers until it is in the American lexicon. Like, until Scary Movie has parodied it or something. No spoilers. No spoilers ever. Why would... What is a spoiler other than just someone saying something for no reason? You want to have a conversation about it? Do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk to your friend.
But don't just post, spoiler, this
don't
thing
just post,
happened.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's
don't just
pretty
post,
aggressive.
E.T. died.
E.T. died?
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was in the
motherfucker.
Version. That's in my. That's in my. That's in my Game of Thrones fanfic. At the end, E.T. gets eaten by one of the dragons.
Oh, huh. Shit. That would be tight.
Yeah.
All right. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
And but E.T. died for real?
Spits him out.
Hey, does E.T.
Not
hold
in,
on.
Not in the E.T. movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one has to imagine he'd probably be dead now.
Oh, fuck, bro.
Just like all the
you
animals
were
in
of
Incredible
E.T.?
Journey.
Yeah. Well, I don't want E.T. to die ever.
Oh, I thought you were saying, fuck, that you're glad he's dead.
No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I remember I saw E.T. as a kid, and I hid myself amongst, like, stuffed animals I had in my bedroom, like, and just laid them on top of myself with my face, only the thing showing. My mom thought I was kidnapped.
Jesus Christ.
Because I didn't say shit. She's like, she was calling for me, and I was like this.
She thought you pulled a Jared Leto and just had a
some.
Face,
I just
facial
took
replica.
Off. No, but, like, she didn't, no, because she just... You know, scanned my
right.
The corner of my bed. It did not register, and I was like, "Oh, this is fucking tight." Shout out to E.T.
She couldn't have just like let out one Miles,
right? But I didn't know, but I was a you know, I'm a shitty 4 year old, and I'm like, "She's fucking crying," and then I'd be like, "Mom, come on," and then she gave me the smoke.
Yeah, Nick, it's been a pleasure having
you. Oh my God, thank you so much. It's my favorite place on earth. Back to the street.
Keep on knocking, baby.
Where can people find you?
Just check out the podcast recently added, where I tell people which Netflix movies are good and which ones are bad. You can start with 2 weeks ago, Anna Hosnier.
Hey.
Our best episode ever. The
Who's
only
that?
Good guest we've ever had.
Hey.
Not familiar. Who is it?
What's that?
Anna Hosnier.
Oh, she's your producer.
Oh, the,
yeah.
Super
she's
producer
in the
Anna
room.
Hosnier.
The only other person in the room. Yeah.
You didn't say her legal name. Super producer Anna Hosnier.
Super right. producer Anna Hosnier.
And is there
all
a tweet
I know is super guest. Say that?
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, my gosh. I have been enjoying this tweet every day for the last 8 days.
Wow. All right, here it is.
It is from Bowen Yang.
Yes.
And the tweet is, when God closes a GameStop, he opens an escape room.
That is fucking
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it means everything to me.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see. And a tweet that I like. Just something I think is very interesting. You know, cauliflower is very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Smith. Or underscore Smith, S-M-I-F, wrote this. It says, no one has had a bigger glow up in the last 10 years than cauliflower. And went from being an ashy broccoli to being the mystique of vegetables, always coming at you with a new shape. You want rice, mashed potatoes, pasta, cheese, a man, low-cost housing, make it from cauliflower.
That's good.
I totally agree.
And yeah, I mean, like, I just had the cauliflower pizza for the first time because mm-hmm. Everybody's like, you gotta try the
cauliflower
pizza? Or whatever. And I was like, oh, shit.
It's not bad.
Shit, go.
I've made cauliflower pizza before.
The cauliflower crust?
Yeah, with no flour in it, with just cauliflower and cheese. And it is impossible.
It just falls apart.
You have to get the cauliflower so dry that you can't want the pizza in it in that day.
Right.
You have to let the cauliflower dry for days or else it's going to be too wet and it's never going to work.
Well, that's why I just buy it somewhere.
Yeah,
I get the cheesecloth specifically for it.
Oh, so you really are.
Yeah, and then you just squeeze. I would just spend hours like squeezing out the water out of this cheesecloth, and then it's just still too wet.
Hmm. You couldn't just put a bunch of weights on it and let it like naturally press out like that, do its thing?
Yeah, why don't you just use your weights?
This is my workout.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't afford the weights, so I bought cheesecloth.
So you know the bench press that you have at your house?
Yeah.
Just take the weights from there.
Oh, you mean my bed?
Yeah.
No. That's why you just got the one big arm.
Tweet I enjoyed is from the classic Megan Amran, at Megan Amran tweeted, "Porn ratatouille, a rat lives in my mouth and gives you a great blowjob."
Porn Ratatouille.
Give her an Emmy.
Seriously. She already has one, doesn't she?
Well, hey, no, isn't a billboard
an Emmy for Megan.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine weekend on?
We're going to ride a wave. To be more specific, a track called Atlantic.Wave, W-A-V.
I thought it was going to be Surfing USA by the Beach Boys.
No. Upper Class.
Wipeout.
It's going to be that song.
Yeah, right.
No matter what.
It's burned me, Brian. Upper Class, a producer, I believe, from Germany. Just check this out, Atlantic.Wave. It has, oddly enough, this is a different song. I thought it has a sample from an artist called John Bapp, but that's so inside baseball, I don't even know why I said that out loud. So this is Atlantic Wave by Upper Class.
You thought Atlantic Wave was the one with the John Bapp sample?
Yeah.
Wow. What fuck is going on with Miles, Nick?
You're miles away.
Ended on that one.
We're going to ride out on that. We'll be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend and a great Mother's Day. Call your mother. Get her flowers.
Call your mother.
Tell her you love her. Mm. Thank her for everything she did for you.
Say mama said hi.
Yeah, tell your mother.
Say hello to your mother.
All right, guys. Bye.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.